Check out Rush Collectibles' awesome horror figures, including the first and only Winnie the Pooh Blood and Honey 2 figures. For more information, go to rushfigures.com.
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. I am one of your friends, Dave. We're joined, as always, by our other friend, Ike. Ike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain. I could complain, but what good would it do?
I don't know. We don't have time to complain. Just the ball keeps rolling. Might as well just, the hamster wheel, might as well just keep running.
That's right. So, that's absolutely right.
Well, this is going to be a fun show, though, because today we're reviewing a movie that we've looked forward to for quite a while, and that is Stream. Coming from our friends at Fuzz on the Lens, we look forward to talking about that soon. But we got lots to do before we get to the review, and let's start with Ike. What did you watch this week?
Well, honestly, I watched a couple things. I watched Apartment 7A. I actually really, really liked it. It's weird because, like, I haven't seen Rosemary's Baby in years. I think I've only seen it once, maybe. So it's been a hot minute. Watching this, I basically could not. I tried to make some connections to Rosemary's Baby, but, like, I had a hard time since I haven't seen it in so long. But it was extremely well made. The only drawback is that it's on the Paramount app, and the Paramount app sucks actual assholes. So. Mm-hmm. Other than that, let's see. I watched all of the Terrifier media just because we are in preparation for Terrifier. In fact, as of recording this, I have tickets to go see it tomorrow, Thursday, when this episode releases. So I'm very excited to see it. And then last but not least, I watched VHS Beyond, which spectacular. Too. I sincerely think it's the best VHS movie yet.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I keep saying this. Everyone just seems to get a little better than the one before. And this one was really, really good. It's like they're in this groove. They just know what they're doing. And they're getting lots of talented people on board for these segments. And it's just, man, I just hope this franchise just keeps on rolling because it's pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely. But other than that, I didn't watch anything crazy. I watched Dancing with the Stars because Kayla likes that show.
Anybody of horror note on there?
I was talking to her. There's no one of horror note, but they sent him home last night. But what's his name? It's Reginald Vell Johnson from Die Hard is in the movie. Huh. He's also from like Family Matters, but they sent him home last night, so that was kind of sad. But otherwise, no one like really of horror note. I don't know if you know her, but Anna Sorkin or Delvey, that like criminal who like tricked a bunch of people.
Didn't she like happen to dance with a ankle monitor on or something?
Yep. She's not there anymore, mind you. She got voted off a couple weeks ago because honestly, she's kind of an asshole. Like she's completely uninterested in doing anything. She's solely there for the money, which. That's a whole other story. But yeah, she's dancing with a fucking ankle monitor. It was honestly hilarious.
What a trip. I've never been a big Dancing with the Stars. I mean, there's been a few people on there that have really got my interest. And I'm like, I try to watch. I'm like, I just can't. It's like, I don't know. It just doesn't, I don't care about dancing. And so it just doesn't do it for me. I've watched some, when like there's certain seasons Monica's interested in, has been in, she's kind of lost interest in it for like Star Calibur is quite what it once was. But I don't know. It's never been my thing. And there's been a few people on there that I've really, really liked. And I thought, maybe that'll help. And it's just like, not so much. Doesn't really do it for me.
It's not my favorite show in the world. It is entertaining sometimes because, they bring on like guests and stuff like what was her name? Rosie Perez was on it yesterday's episode or the day before. So and I like her. She's pretty cool. But they had Gene Simmons on yesterday, which I mean, like, I guess Kiss is okay, but I don't really like Gene Simmons as a person. But
I like Kiss. But I've liked some of the musical things they've done here and there. That's okay. And it's just, I don't know. It was better with that Tom guy hosting it.
Yeah,
I
Tom
thought he
Bertram.
I thought he was better, but whatever. I don't know. I've not really watched it in a long time. I don't really intend to so much, but
Hey, Tom Bertram's an OG man. He used to what was it? He used to do America's Funniest Home Videos after Bob Saget left.
he did. Yeah,
Well,
he's he...
it's weird because speaking of the guy who plays Carlton, I can't what's his name?
Oh yeah, the shit, what's his name? I don't
Something
know his name.
Rivera, something Rivera.
Yeah, Alfonso Ribeiro.
Yeah, he hosts Dancing with the Stars and AFB, so he's just taking Tom Bertram fucking jobs, man. Damn.
I like Alfonso, but it's just, I don't know. It's not my show no matter what. I mean, it'd be hard for, I don't know. Just not that interesting. But,
We got way
all
off
right.
track there.
Let's see. What did I watch? Let's see. Like I said, I watched VHS Beyond. I watched Oddity on Shudder, which was, it was all right. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but it was all right. I watched The New Salem's Lot on Max, which was extraordinarily good. I thought it was really good. I really
Really?
enjoyed it. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Highly advise everybody watch it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I watched a movie on Screambox called Cracoon. And we're going to talk more about it in a moment because it's a new movie, but yet it has already slid into our cheesy slasher of the week because it is fucking cheesy as hell. So let's just go ahead and transition over.
Order up.
Here's one house special cheesy slasher. Enjoy.
And now it's time for Cheesy Slasher of the Week. And as I said, it's going to be the aforementioned Crackoon. Now, this is a segment where I suggest to you a just what it says, a cheesy slasher for you to watch. Something that's very goofy, very fun, and whatnot. And this week we present to you Crackoon. The movie was released October 1st, 2024. It's available now on Screambox. It was written by Brad Twigg and Todd Martin, directed by Brad Twigg, starring Rosario Arauço, Justin Martin, Gary Lee Vincent, and many, many more. The movie is described as a raccoon ingests a discarded synthetic drug and mutates into a vicious killer. It rampages through a mountain community, threatening campers, tourists, and residents. No one is safe from the monstrous raccoon's violent onslaught. This movie was like a very cheesy version of Cocaine Bear, with just lower down and with a raccoon. I mean, and then there were funny parts. There were parts that just make you go, ugh. And it's like shake your head. There were some, there were some decent kills. But the movie was the epitome of cheesy. Probably the best part of the movie was the fact that they knew that, right? They went into it not trying to be serious. They knew they were leaning heavily into the humor side. Sometimes the humor worked, sometimes it didn't. I'm a big proponent of not trying to force humor. There was sometimes they forced some humor, but they were leaning heavy into that cheesy side and really, put it all into it. It's a goofy movie, but you know what? It's funny. There's some parts that are funny. There's some parts that are intriguing. There's some decent kills. There are some parts that are just not so good. It is almost like the prototype cheesy slasher of the week. But yeah, we switched it up a little bit this week and bringing you a new one because it's always been, movies from way back. But this week, the cheesy slasher of the week is Crackoon, available on Screambox. I didn't know what to go think when I went into it. I saw there was a movie called Crackoon. I'm like, ooh, is this what is this? Is this a highly racist movie that I just don't want to have any part of?
Right.
But it's not. It is absolutely not. And it's just a goofy ass raccoon on some weird ass crack, killing people. And the acting's not very good in the movie. There was a couple guys that were pretty all right and pretty funny, but it was something. So there you go.
I could certainly see where you might get racist tones from. from a movie
Well,
called Crackoon.
yeah, I mean, I first saw it, and the title, and I was a little just it just like my heart jumped in my throat. I'm like, oh, tell me they did not. I'm like, I don't know. It just worried me, and I was hopeful that it was, I don't know, the animal, and it was. So, but anyway, it is a very goofy, cheesy movie, and support Screambox. Give it a watch. Let us know what you think. If you're into that cheesy, fun, goofy ass, wacky ass, humorous slasher type movie, well, this one's right up your alley. It's okay, but it's a little too much into it. It's not to the Thanksgiving level, not that
Right.
far, but it's certainly there's a little more than I like in it. So. There you go. That is our selection of the week. So let's move on.
Talk to us, Internet.
And now it's time for Talk to Us, Internet, and this is where we pick up a topic or listener feedback from the Internet, and we discuss it and respond to it. And this week we are talking about the upcoming movie Terrifier 3. Now, it's upcoming for us, for the majority of the people, but it has been out there in a few places, right? Overseas, I think it's already hit the UK. It's been out there in some film festivals. There's been some premiere dates. So there are a collection of people that have already seen this movie. And the rumble on the internet is that those that have already seen Terrifier 3 at the premieres, etc., are talking about how much that they have upped the game. And there's been all these reports of people walking out, vomiting, passing out, etc. Now, we had some of this with Terrifier 2, but it's happening again. There's been some video proof. I mean, there's been some videos out there of people getting up and walking out of the theaters. There's been some video out there of people passing out. And there was actually a video of someone passing out and falling down some steps. The person is all right. Damian Leon reached out, wanted to make sure this person was all right. And we will have another little, something to do in this vein with Terrifier 3 when we get to the news portion of the program. But Terrifier 3 has taken what Terrifier 2 did, ramped it up a bit, shaking the fuck out of horror again, and really getting wild with it. And the thing is this, for those of us who love this franchise, this is what we want, right? This is, no one's going to say Terrifier in any capacity, any of these movies are for just your general average fan. It ain't gonna happen. I mean, if you don't like the gore, if you don't like that kind of stuff, clearly this is not gonna be for you. Monica's not a big fan of the gore over the top. She doesn't see a point in it. I personally, if it's done right, I love it. And especially if the practical effects are really good. And as of right now, practical effects don't get much better than Damien Leone and what he's doing. So when I see things like this, and again, with all respect and hoping that everybody's right, I don't want anybody to be disappointed. I don't want people passing out and having to vomit and whatever else. I mean, but all in the good nature of what we're talking about, I like that. When I see that, I'm like, yes, that means this movie has ramped it up. As it knows what its strengths are, is not afraid to push it further, and that's what I want, right? I don't want them to get comfortable. I don't want them to get complacent. I want them to keep on doing their thing. That's what made them, the sensation in horror, and it's very exciting to me. And I love seeing these reports on the internet. What about you?
Oh yeah, I mean, here's the thing, and like I do think that the reports, from what I've heard, some of them are like all true, like this is what happened, blah blah, and some of them obviously are a little inflated, as is with any marketing for these films. But like you said, there's proof of it out there, and I think that that's one of the beautiful things about the social media age is that, for instance, back in the 70s, when Exorcist came out, they made those same claims. They made the same claims that people were walking out of theaters and stuff like that. And, it's a little harder to prove, but in the social media age, if people start walking out of a movie like that, it's pretty easily, provable, especially with the age of cell phones. So, yeah, obviously I'm super stoked about it. I think that, I just think that, like you said, the big thing with this movie, and perhaps people maybe need to do a little research when they rewatch these movies, because clearly nobody wants anyone to go to a movie, waste their money, and feel physically ill after watching said movie. But it is one of those things where, like, if you're going to go watch a movie, I think that it is sort of on you as the consumer to kind of say, like, okay, what's this movie about? Should I be worried about the contents of this movie? And that's something that I think a lot of people maybe don't think about doing. So, keep that in mind for folks out there who might be listening, who might be saying to themselves, maybe I want to go watch this movie. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. It's totally up to you. You are a grown person, so I encourage everyone to go out there with a open but also cautious mindset when watching this movie or any movie for that matter. But yeah, I'm stoked about it. I think it's going to be great. I think that this just further proves that Damien Leone is trying to absolutely kill everyone with this movie, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, I am their target audience. I
Yeah.
am the guy that this is made for, because this is what I like, right? And it's funny to me to think, when you think of the past, and how each decade, right, how things are upped, right? You mentioned like the Exodus, right, and how the pea soup thing was so controversial and all
Yeah.
this and that for so long. And you talk about, the movies of the 80s and how they were controversial, and people thought, oh, this is so much, whatever. And if you watch them now, it's like some of them almost seem tame. It's like it's weird, right? And everything gets up. And that's just the natural progression for pretty much anything in entertainment. And so but I'm glad that it's, because we've gotten away from this, right? And we've talked about this with lots of movies, that I it's like some movies we watch, we're like, oh, it's a pretty good movie, but it's like I really wish they would just commit and go for it, right?
Yeah.
Not be afraid, not try to go for that PG-13 rating. Not worry about it. Just really, just go. Just do a horror movie, and don't be afraid. And I understand that in this climate, everybody's clamoring for what seems to be a more limited amount of dollars that the consumer has, and I get it. But I like how Damien Leone's just like, screw it, I'm doing my thing. This is what I want to do. There's an audience for it, right? Terrifier 2 has proved it. That there's an audience, and so let's just do it and go for it. There's a huge amount of hype, just like with Terrifier 2. This kind of stuff, this is free promotion,
Yeah.
and this, when you see these stories online, there's going to be people who are like, okay, I got to check this out. I got to see if this is as bad as people are saying. I got to see, why are people fainting? I got to see this to see for myself, and that's what happened with Terrifier 2. Lots of people went, and lots of people were like, oh, this is pretty cool. I like this. And that's how you help grow the base. I would venture to guess that probably some of these people, and I don't have no clue, I have no information to back this, but I would venture, you probably have a handful, most of these people or whatever, that maybe went with someone who knew, right? Knew what was going on. It was a fan, just tagged along, got pulled into it, just kind of, not knowing what to expect and things like that. Right, because I can't imagine. I just can't imagine a lot of people just casually wanting to go to this movie, and I mean, and that's not putting the movie down, but I don't see how people don't know what to expect.
Yeah. Well, and I think that actually a word that you use that's very, I think, important for this conversation is that there is such a thing as a casual horror movie lover. And that's not a diss. It's just that there are certain people who enjoy horror movies to a degree, right? They enjoy horror movies to a point, and then it stops at that point, and pushing it beyond that sort of, I guess, that limit, that personal boundary makes it not enjoyable. And I think the Terrifier is statistically beyond that boundary for most people, I'm gonna assume.
Yeah, but and you're always gonna get a few peripheral people that are gonna go. They're gonna go, right? Because, oh, it's a horror movie. It's got a lot of hype.
Right.
Maybe not knowing what's. I get that. All right, now, you're gonna get people that's gonna go with, their husband, their wife, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, not really into horror, but they're going with them. They're like, holy crap, what's this? And I get that. You're always gonna get that. But I just, and I just, I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I just can't think all the diehard horror fans. Are thinking this is too much, that are going to this not knowing what to expect and thinking it's too much. I think it's got to be more peripheral people. I could be wrong. I don't know, because I've heard this really ups the ante, and I hope so. And I can't wait to see for myself. I love the fact. I mean, we're going into it. We've seen some teasers, we've seen some trailers, we've seen some pictures, whatever. But I don't have any clue what the plot is of this movie.
No, me
No
neither.
idea, and I don't care because I mean, you know what? I'm sure it's a great story and a great plot and a great build on Terrifier 3 or Terrifier 2. That's fine. I trust them in that. It's like I don't care because that's like I want to go see Art the Clown. I part of it is yes, I want to go see what are the new Art the Clown kills. What's he gonna do? And everything else, I have faith. I have faith that what they're doing and that they're telling the story they want to tell and it's gonna be okay. It's so wild to me. These movies are they're events, right? They're not movies where I don't know. I don't feel like you have to draw the people in. It's just like these are events. People know. Because there's people that are just going to see, okay, we've seen the hacksaw scene. We've seen the
Right.
salt and bleach scene. What are they going to do now? And there's some people that they don't care about the story. They just want to go see what Damien Leone, how he's going to kill off somebody next. And that's that. I'm all right with that because that's a strong part of horror that we've lost. And then I'm glad that we're back there, right? I feel like this is back in the days where it's like, okay, right, there's a new Nightmare movie. We're going to see it. I don't care what it's about. It's Freddy. We're going to go see it. And that's what it feels like, right? It's like, okay, this is terrifying. This is Art the Clown. I don't care what it's about. We're going to go see it. And I love it because it's just so cool to have that back, right? I feel like this is something that's been missing in horror for a bit.
It really has.
And yeah, and it's like, when you get a franchise like a Saw or something that had a little bit of that. It's like sometimes you get those gaps though, where it's like you lose a little of that feeling, right? It's like when you had to wait several years, it's like you lose a little bit of that, right? But it's like this, it's coming every couple of years. It's just really that this is very, very retro in its feel, right? Like, oh, here we are, a couple of years, we're getting new Art the Clown, and it's like everybody's on board for it, and it's just this cult-like following of Art and Terrifier. And we're going to support this product, right? We're going to buy everything that comes out, and because we love this character, and I love that, and it's just so cool. It feels so grassroots because we've talked to these guys, right? And it's just there's just these guys that man hit it the right ideal and did the right thing and put the work in, and here they are with all this success, and it's so cool. It's so cool to see.
It is.
And when you get these stories, it's just like, I mean, it's like literally again, well, let's hold any more because again, there's a segment coming up in the news about this. I have a few more thoughts. We'll save it for that because it's related to that topic. So, all right. So let's move on.
Stump the co-host.
And it's time for Stump the Co-host. Ike, this is our segment. Where you and I are going to play horror trivia. You and I have identical horror trivia decks. We have pulled two cards from our decks at random. That is four questions total. We're going to alternate asking each other questions and see who wins on this episode. You won. You are the champion of 2023. So far in 2024, you have four wins. I have two wins, and we have two draws. So I am once again fighting from behind. Last year, I kind of made it interesting in the end, but you held me off. So let's see what we can do this year. Ike, are you ready to play Stump the Co-host?
I surely am.
All right. Well, I am going to put you on the spot and make you go first. Here is your first question. Who was born at 6 a.m. on the sixth day of the sixth month?
That would be Damien from the Omen, right?
Correct, Damien Thorne. You are correct. Oh, I need a pen here. I got to keep track of the score. All right, there you go. First one correct for you. So, bring on my first.
All right. Starting us off here, what type of animal terrorizes Jennifer Connelly and Dario Argento's Phenomena?
Mother Bunker. I don't. What the hell? Man. I can appreciate Dario Argento, but I'm not a big fan, and I can't say that I've seen. I can't say I've seen this movie. I've not seen a lot of his. I've seen a few of his films. Not necessarily. It's not my cup of tea, but I do appreciate. But let's see, Jennifer Connelly. Okay, so what animal, huh? Well, let me just take a crack, because I can guess an animal. What's the movie called again?
It's called Phenomena.
Well, that doesn't help any.
No, does
No,
it? Not even remotely.
I was hoping there was something I could pull out of that a little bit, but nah, not so much. Let's
Not
see it.
quite like, cocaine bear or raccoon,
No, there's nothing there. Let's see. Do I want to go wacky and weird and off cusp because it is Dario, or do it is something like, let's say, I don't know. Let me say, fuck. Let me say, I do not know. Let me say a goat.
That is a good guess. But no, it was a chimpanzee with a razor.
Wow. Okay. Way to go. Way to go, Dario.
Right. That's a weird one.
Okay, that would terrorize me, I'm telling you. All right, here is your
Or a
second
turtle.
question. Oh my God, don't do that. Come on. Have we told the listeners that I hate turtles?
I don't know, have we?
I
I think
don't
we
know.
have.
I
I think we have.
just so you know, I fucking hate turtles and frogs, and unless they are like Muppets or cartoon characters, I love those. I mean, I love the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I love Kermit the Frog. I love all that kind of stuff. Real life, oh my God. Frogs give me the creeps and turtles just scare me. Now, to be fair, I did have a bad experience with a snapper turtle when I was a kid in a creek and it came at me. So there is trauma there. But
To be fair, snapping turtles are mean little bastards.
they are. And I mean, turtles just creep me out, right? There's just something creepy about them. How they hide in their shell and they're this and that. And if you see the fucking fast turtles, that wigs me the hell out because that shouldn't be happening. But anyway, okay, let's move on though, because I'm starting to get kind of, the cold sweats. Your second question: what 1978 film features footage of supposedly real deaths and boasted about it being banned in 40 countries?
Is that a is it Faces of Death?
It is Faces of Death, correct. Boy, this is not looking well for me.
I okay, I'm not gonna say it, but I feel
Just don't say it.
I'm not gonna say it.
Every time you say it, I get it wrong, and then I look like a fool.
I'm not gonna say it, but I believe in you. That's all I'm gonna say.
Man, you know what? I appreciate that, but now it's just pressure.
All right. In the 1979 film Tourist Trap, a group of friends are trapped in what establishment?
I believe. Oh, I think it's a rest stop, isn't it?
So
No.
it is, but
Okay.
it's what there it also has something in it. 'Cause that is a trick question, 'cause technically it's a rest stop, but it is specifically something else.
Oh, well, I don't know that. I'm gonna guess. I guess a rest stop bathroom?
No, it's a museum.
Fuck them. What the hell? I've seen that movie, but it's been forever. And I knew it was at a rest stop, but
I recently watched Tourist Trap like a couple months ago. It's really good, actually.
yeah, it is pretty good. But it's been a long time since I've seen it. All right, God dang, here we go. I'm losing interest in this. Here is your third question. In what movie, and by the way, if you get this question right, you've won the round, because I can't come back. So there you go. In what movie do the survivors use petri dishes with blood samples and a heated wire to determine which one of them is the host of an extraterrestrial creature?
That would be the thing.
That would be the thing. God damn. Go ahead, it doesn't matter, but bring it on.
Right. What hangs above Tina's bed in A Nightmare on Elm Street?
Love, ooh, I'm gonna guess a dream catcher.
It's a crucifix.
Oh, I don't remember that.
I didn't either. It said that, and I at first I guess Dreamcatcher as well, because I'm like, I'm pretty sure at some point there was, but I guess not.
I don't specifically remember what was hanging over my head. I just thought Dreamcatcher made sense. But oh well, it doesn't matter anyway. All right, here's your final question. This 1990 movie was a oh, excuse me, this 1990 movie about an infestation of murderous spiders features John Goodman and Jeff Daniels. That's a weird, I don't know why I had problems reading that question. Did you get
John,
that?
yeah, John Goodman and Jeff Daniels. I was gonna say A-Legged Freaks, but I think A-Legged Freaks came later. Yeah, actually, I have no idea.
That is Arachnophobia.
Yeah, I've never seen that
I haven't seen it either, but I've heard of it.
one. All right, you ready for your last question?
Well, why not?
All right, in the 2006 film Silent Hill, what sound signals the transformation of the town into a nightmarish dimension?
See, this is a question you would have got. You know what? I don't know. Church bells.
So no, it's an air raid siren,
There
but
you go.
weirdly enough, there are also church bells, but they are drowned out by the air raid siren in the movie. There's
Yeah,
actually a
well.
whole scene about a church. Really good movie, really disturbing, but yeah, good guess, but no, it is an air raid siren.
Yeah. Doesn't make any difference anyway. All right. So, Ike, you win 3-2-0. Nothing. Not one of those questions was in my wheelhouse whatsoever. That's disappointing.
It'll have to flip at some
No.
point. And actually, fun fact for the viewers out there, there's a second of these games, so maybe at some point we can get
Yeah.
that and maybe switch it up
Maybe.
between the two.
Yeah, maybe that's a little more. I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I read questions to you and I'm like, oh, I would have known this one. And then I get Silent Hill questions. I'm like, I don't know. That's not my forte. And, I don't know. And it's like I get movies that I've seen, but they've been a while. So it's like I forget a detail. Like, the freaking museum thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm starting to get disgruntled. And I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to start rewatching like every movie ever to just be ready, I guess.
Every movie ever.
Every movie ever. The thing is, they pull some deep cuts too. It's like sometimes, like that Dario one. It's like I just not, like I said, I appreciate Dario, but I'm not big into his movies. So it's like I've never really sat down and really watched through his catalog. And so I don't know. It's like
I don't think I've never seen a Dario Argento movie that I can recall, so
yeah. I mean, I've watched a few just because. And they were okay, but they're just not my. They're not my. I mean, I can see why people might like them, and I get that, and that's fine. And I'm not going to knock anybody who that's their thing, but it's just not. It's not what I like. It's not my favorite. So it's like I'm not gonna. I watch the highlights, right? The big ones, just so I can say I have, and that I've watched them. But I'm not gonna watch what whatever that was. It's like I don't feel like that's one of the highlights. I don't know. So how am I supposed to know what animal?
true.
Especially when it's some kind of what was it, a bear with a switch blade or a
With a
razor blade?
chimpanzee, yeah,
A
chimpanzee with
chimpanzee.
a bread.
What was that? How did a chimpanzee get a razor blade? Who's the irresponsible zookeeper on that? Come on.
Yeah, so that sounds like a bigger issue. sounds
It's
like a containment issue.
almost tweaked my interest enough to see the movie just to see what happens there. But all right, well, congratulations, Ike. You're now up 5 wins to 2 wins to 2 draws. So, all right, so let's take a break, and when we come back, we are going to talk about news, birthdays, anniversaries, and all that good stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number 2 in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
the news. Spreading the news. Spreading the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, so as we were talking about earlier, talking a little bit about Terrifier 3, a little bit of news about Terrifier 3. Good or bad news, I'm not sure. This doesn't really change anything for us, but maybe for our friends in France. France has not been known for many things other than surrendering a lot. And, you know, that's okay. They surrendered again. It's all right. But they have issued a ban on Terrifier 3, meaning that anyone under the age of 18 is not permitted to see the movie. It is the first movie since Saw 3 in 2006 to be banned for minors. So, obviously, in the United States, we have the MPAA, the Motion Picture Something Association, or whatever the fuck it is, that provides ratings for movies. In France and in the UK, they do other things, and, you know, I don't know what the fuck those people do. No offense to our French listeners. I don't know how you guys operate with your movies, just not super informed on that. But at least in the United States, they don't really ban people from watching movies. But they do put ratings on it, right? Which does restrict whether or not you can watch the movie. Like, if you're under the age of 18, you can't go watch Terrifier 3 without somebody over the age of 21 with you. Is what that? Because I used to work in a movie theater, guys. I'm not just pulling this out of my ass. That's what the rules used to be. So, don't know how it is now. It could be different. But yeah, it's different for different countries. So, but hey, that puts a little credibility on Terrifier 3, if you ask me.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we've joked and talked about recently the in the UK, the video nasties, which I just love saying.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to say that again. I know Damian Leone reacted on online saying this was a badge of honor for him, that he's accomplished this. You know, it is what it is, right? They have their systems and their methods and whatever else. But once again, like we just said earlier, it's, you know what, this is press. This is people are going to take note. And say, oh, crap, they're banning this for under 18 in France. I got to see this. I got to see. What is this? What is so bad about this? So, again, yes, I don't know what the market is in France. I don't know how many people are, you know, how well Terrifier has done in France, especially under 18. I whatever. And I can't imagine that's going to put a big hit in the Terrifier, the bottom line. Because I can't imagine that's a big cut of their profit and their box office, you know. But you know, whatever. But again, I think this is just going to turn up more interest in the other countries that people are going to say, "Oh wow, look at this," and want to go see what all the buzz is about. And for a guy like Damien Leone, he's a horror guy, you can say what you want about Damien Leone. First and foremost, he's a special effects guy. And for him to get this is like him saying, yes, I have done it. I've accomplished something here. So that's part of the magic in this, stew is that, you know, where Damien Leone comes from. You know, he's not just some big shot, high money, you know, director, producer guy trying to make bucks off this. He comes from a pure place of horror and effects. And this is just something that's just going to drive him further. And I'm telling you, he's pushed the boundaries on 3. He's already said there's going to be a 4. What's going to happen for 4? I mean, I'm not going to look. I don't want to look past 3, but good grief. If we've got to this level where it's getting banned for under 18 in France, you know, he's going to be like, okay, well, what are we going to do for 4? And I don't know. For a guy like me, it excites me.
True.
And it makes me just that much more anxious to see this movie. And you know what? All apologies of the under 18 in France, but whatever. It is what it is. And it makes me feel confident that this movie is going to have a lot of what I want to see in it.
Yeah, absolutely. But as the infamous words of the internet says, fuck them kids, so they can watch when they turn 18.
That's
I kid. Right. But all right, moving on to Matthew Lillard has confirmed he will return in Five Nights at Freddy's 2. And in the infinite words of William Afton, I always come back. So he will be back as William Afton in Five Nights at Freddy's 2. Super excited for this. Love Five Nights. It was one of my favorite movies last year, and I believe it comes out next October, so look out for that in a year.
Yeah. And again, I don't think this is a surprise. I think everybody
No.
anticipated and expected this, but it has been confirmed. So everybody can now can rest easy. There's just no worries about it not happening. So a good deal. Because you know what? I don't even care what it is. I'm all about Matthew Lillard and whatever he is in. My only hope is now, come on, Matthew Lillard in the new Scream movie. Come on, bring it.
Absolutely.
We need Stu back.
We do. We need Stumacher back in the game. But all right, moving on to Mr. Crockett is available October 11th on Hulu. It is described as a mother embarks on a perilous quest to rescue her son from a demonic children's show host who is kidnapping kids. It's like an evil Mr. Rogers. So yeah, I'm super excited for this. Mr. Crockett actually looks really good. I've seen a couple trailers, so I will definitely be checking this out this weekend.
Yeah, me too. I'm super psyched. We've talked about this, a couple of times, I believe, on here, but here it is. We're now getting ready to come out. We've talked about Hulu's got some. I mean, there's just some good things coming up as they do their whatever it's called, Huluween or whatever they call it.
Yeah.
A couple of originals coming out. I think there was that one movie called Carved we talked about a little bit. But anyway, this I like this. This is a pretty cool idea, pretty cool concept, and I'm excited. This sounds like it's going to be fun, and I look forward to seeing it this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. As the kids say, absolute bangers. So we'll see what happens. And then moving on to our upcoming birthdays. We only have one, but it's a great one. October 15th, 1947, Lynn Lowry, known for the OG Crazies, Shivers, and a Halloween Feast. So this is basically like a legendary actress. She's been in so
Yes.
much. She's been in a few that I've seen, actually. I've seen the original Crazies, obviously. I've seen the new one as well. But I do remember her from that. So that was actually really cool. I was like, yeah, I know exactly who that is for once.
It's, I mean, there were so many movies. It's like I couldn't even begin to list them all. And I only threw Halloween Feast on there. I mean, I know it's not one of her big ones, but it's her most recent, right? That just came out. And so she's still out there doing it and it's still enjoying it, still enjoying the genre. And I love that. I love these people, these actors and actresses who know that's their thing. And again, we're going to talk about this with Stream because this is a big thing for me with Stream. And I love these people that are just, they enjoy the genre. And love doing these kind of movies, and she's one of them, right? And she's one of the originals that really did this, that found her, one of the original quote unquote Scream Queens that found her niche and just loved it and is still doing it to this day. And I've not watched Halloween Feast yet, but it is from the descriptions and I watched the trailer. It looks pretty good, and I'd like and I'm gonna watch it. But yeah, I'm a fan of hers. She's done so much good stuff, and is still out there doing good stuff to still.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, moving on to some upcoming movie birthdays or
Man,
anniversaries.
there are some good ones. There are some good ones here this week.
There really are. There's actually some real good ones. So we're to start us off with October 11th, 1985, Silver Bullet. Never seen this movie, but I have heard it is good.
It is. You got to put it on the list. And this is Stephen King. This is Stephen King's take on a werewolf. It's got Corey Haim in it. It's got who's the other guy in it? I'm shooting a blank. It's got Gary Busey in it. That's who I'm thinking. And it's
You see.
Busey. It's so much fun, and it's such a good thing. I mean, Stephen King, it's great, man. It's you got to watch it. But I love Silver Bullet, one of my favorite werewolf movies.
Yeah, cool. It's actually already on the list, so we've had
There you
this
go.
conversation before. I must have.
I figured.
That's funny, but good stuff. So then I guess we can move on to October the 12th, 1989, Puppet Master. There's like 500 of these, but the OG is
Oh,
actually really good. I really like
it
the
is.
original Puppet Master.
Yeah, it is. It's really good. I'm not so big on. I've watched several of the sequels. I don't think I've watched them all, but I'm not a fan of a lot of the sequels. And but yes, I do love the original, the first movie. I see why it spurned sequels, or spawned sequels, or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
I get it. I get it because it is really a strong movie. It's creepy as hell. Puppets are creepy, and. Puppets, mannequins, all that kind of crap just creeps me out. And it's the effects are pretty cool for the time period. It's just a fun movie. Not, you know, there's a significant drop to me after this one. I know there's a lot of people who love the franchise as a whole, but that's fine. But I do love this first movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And then also, this is another good one. October 12, 2012, Sinister. Ethan Hawke, amazing movie. Very, very scary in my opinion. And it does very well for being just a PG-13 movie. And the videotape or the film reel of the lawnmower is just, oh man, chilling. But so good. Such a good movie.
And this is another one of those that we have this thing where we talk about movies that are not talked about enough and that are underappreciated. And this is one of my things. I don't know why. It's just I don't hear enough chatter about this movie as what I think it should be. And it's a really good movie and really creepy and spooky and everything else. And it's, I don't know, it's just funny. There's a handful of movies that I really, really like, or love. And I just don't feel like they get talked about enough, and I don't know why it is. I it's like I don't know. It confuses me because I know there's people out there that like them, but why does when conversations come up about these movies, why does this not ever get talked about? I just don't hear Sinister talked about or mentioned enough online, but that needs a change.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to start a campaign. Talk about Sinister.
That's right.
But anywho, moving on to October 13th, 1989, Halloween 5, The Revenge of Michael Myers. This, of course, is part of the Mark of Thorn series that expands upon 1 and 2 and talks about what is it? Good Lord. I can't remember her name now in the movie, but Jamie Lee Curtis's character has a daughter, and it's the daughter who obviously starts to, get hunted down by Michael Myers, because why not? So, but yeah, very good.
Again, it's kind of an underappreciated little segment of the Halloween films. You know what? I get it, right? Because it's I understand people lean towards the first couple and whatever. I get that. I understand. But at least they tried something unique, tried a little something different, tried to expand a little bit. And for some people it works, for some people it doesn't. But those that truly like the Halloween franchise, I think most of them pretty much they kind of enjoy this. And I think the further along we get, it seems like there's a little more appreciation for the Thorn stuff.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, we actually that during that last interview we did, he had the Mark of Thorn tattoo, and it made me want to get that. So, yeah, like you said, I do think there is a growing appreciation amongst the masses for that section of the Halloween franchise for sure.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that these movies were some of the first ones they've seen. There's a certain segment of people not old enough to see the others, and this was the first ones they saw. And
Yeah.
so this is what they know most. And that's all right. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And then another banger, October 14th, 1988, Pumpkinhead. Pumpkinhead is so good. Such a great monster movie. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend. It's a good watch.
It is, and another movie that came up in that interview with what's his name? I'm sorry, I'm shooting a blank on his name. What's his name?
Oh my gosh. Our friend
Ooh.
from the probably one of the best fall
It's
movies this year.
it's Matt St. Pierre,
Yeah,
and
it's Empire.
I was trying to remember because I remembered Matt, and I was like, "What's that last name that I struggled with?" I mean, again, this was the movie he said really hooked him into horror. And again, I'm not giving away. There's a great story he has about this movie that you gotta listen to. You gotta go listen to the interview to hear it, though. I'm not gonna repeat it here. It's a
Yeah.
very, very funny story. I like Pumpkinhead. I really, really do. Great character, great concept. Just a fun movie. And again, this is another one that I don't know. I don't feel like it gets the quite enough of the props it deserves. So.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an underrated one for sure. But yeah, check it out, guys. Pumpkinhead 88. It's a good one. It's a good vintage. October 14th, 1994, so about, 6 years later, New Nightmare, Wes Craven's masterpiece. New Nightmare is great. New Nightmare kind of revolutionized the whole, concept of Nightmare on Elm Street, made it even more meta than it was. And yeah, love New Nightmare. It's an excellent film.
Yeah, and if you go back in our Nightmare franchise episode, which is in the archives, I'm pretty sure this came in at third. I think it's behind the original and then Dream Warriors, and then there was this. It was so clever, so well done, so meta, breaking the fourth wall. It was very clever. And especially, you know, when you have a franchise that did, you know, had done so much and tried so many different things, and it's like, you know, trying to come up with what the next thing will be. It really worked. It worked well. And I think it's just a really, really great movie. And again, I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know where the fandom is on this movie as far as nightmare movies go. But like I said, I mean, ranking it at third, that's exactly where I'd put it. You know, I love Dream Warriors. I love the original, but this would be right there at third for me as far as the franchise goes. I really like this movie.
Yeah, absolutely same. It's a fantastic movie. Like you said, it reinvents the whole concept of being meta. Wes Craven is very good at that. But all right, moving on to October 14, 2022, so just a couple years ago, we had the very divisive and very flip-floppy movie for myself, Halloween Ends. Yeah, I mean, Halloween Ends is probably one of the more divisive horror films I have ever seen in my life, even more so than, I would say, In a Violent Nature. Like, In a Violent Nature had some pretty hardcore fighting on the internet, but I would say Halloween Ends beats that out. There's so many people who hate it. There's some people who love it. And I flip-flopped so hard. Like, and I hate to say it, but like, I hated the movie at first, right? Well, I liked it, but then I didn't like it. And now I like it again. I can appreciate it for what it was, but it's just so crazy. Like, people still talk about it to this day. I still see people talk about it, like, on TikTok, you know, on Reddit and stuff like that. So yeah, it is wild.
It is. It's funny to me. It is funny. It's not my favorite of the Halloween movies. I see what they were trying to do. I don't know. I originally absolutely hated it. I've kind of, you know, backed down a little bit on it. It's like, you know what? It's maybe not as bad as I originally thought. But you know, it is what it is. What else we can say? You know, you go back. We have a review in the archives. That was our opinions and our thoughts as of release. Did we do a wise rebuttal about this? I feel like we did.
I don't remember. It's very possible that we did. It would not surprise me.
Well, because I know Monica really, she likes it. She thinks she really likes it and what they did with it. So I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, I have tamed my thoughts on it a bit. It's still not really high up there in my favorites, but I don't hate it. What I did, I can appreciate parts of it a little more. It is what it is. And some people love it and I'm glad, right? It's just, I don't know. It's just not, maybe not the perfect approach for me, but the thing is, I can't tell you what would have been. So it's like, you know, I don't have a better opinion, but anyway, you're right. It is a very divisive movie. And I don't know if and when that will ever calm down.
Yeah.
It seems to be going very strong. So
it does. It very much does. It'll never go away.
Maybe not. No, I don't know.
Just like evil never dies.
That's right. But, I still feel like someday it's going to be one of those movies that people are going to be like, just like Halloween 3. Someday some people are going to be like, you know what? This is actually pretty good. And there's going to be this following of people. Again, certain people who this was maybe some of their first Halloween in theater experience. And, you know, I don't know. I feel like there'll come a day where that corner will turn and there'll be a whole new appreciation. Cause that happens with most movies, most horror movies at some point. I don't know, a different generation rises and there's a new appreciation for things, but,
yeah,
time will tell.
That is true. Only time will tell. And, moving on to our next, birthday, or I'm sorry, not technically movie birthday. I call it a movie birthday or anniversary, October 15th, 2021. Another Halloween, it is Halloween Kills. Yeah, again, this one actually was pretty well received, not as well as 2018's Halloween. I think this one didn't do as well because it came out during the pandemic. But, you know, you had Halloween 2018 that was really well received, Halloween Kills, which was somewhat well received, and then you had Halloween Ends, which was really not well received generally. But I liked Halloween Kills. I thought it was a pretty worthy sequel, and that final scene is really, really good.
Yeah, I like Halloween Kills. I think, Halloween Kills, I think it's a pretty good 1-2 punch. Yeah, and I was, I'm pretty, I like them both. I think they're pretty good chapter or entries into the franchise. And yeah, I can't complain too much about it. It was a fun enough movie for me. And
Yeah.
I don't really have any big qualms with it. But I think it was well done well. So.
There you go. You heard it here first, folks. No, I'm just kidding. And then moving on. I think we actually ranked these all Halloween movies, didn't we?
We did at some point. No, we have not. Not because I believe we're doing it to come, because this is the, I'm pretty sure this is the 45th anniversary, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Is that right? No, that doesn't make sense. 45th would have been last year, right?
So
Because
then
78.
78, so
Whatever. I don't
yeah,
remember
four,
ranking.
you're right. 46th anniversary then would be this year.
So I don't know. Did we rank it last year? We may have ranked it last year. Maybe we did rank them.
Maybe. I don't remember now. Like I remember talking about it, but I don't remember ranking it.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember. I want to say we did, because I thought we did it for the 45th anniversary. I'm pretty sure we did, actually, because I
We
remember doing something
probably
special for
did.
Halloween. So we did that last fall, yes. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's in the archives. And I don't have, yeah, I'm, you know what? I'm sure we did. I know we did. I'm positive, because I remember having the discussion about Busta Rhymes, and that's where we really got preaching about Halloween H2O. So yes, we did. I'm sure we did. So you know what? I don't know where we ranked what as far as this movie goes, but whatever. It's a pretty solid movie.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, moving on to October 16th, 1992, Candyman. Obviously, Candyman is iconic. Candyman has spawned an entire franchise of films, including a reboot. So obviously, you cannot beat the Candyman. It's such a good movie. Love it, and of course, it's Tony Todd too.
Yeah, I love it. Tony Todd's, he's great. And this is, it's just like the perfect role for him too. It's just like it worked. It clicked. And I've seen things online, and it's absolutely true. You know what? Is Candyman really a villain? Because you know what? Candyman doesn't mess with you as long as you keep his name out of your mouth.
Keep
So
my name out your motherfucking
yeah.
mouth.
So you know what? Who's to blame here? Is it Candyman or the person that just won't let it be? So, I don't know. But anyway, great movie.
Yeah, absolutely. And then moving on to a not so great movie, October 16th, 1998, Bride of Chucky. Again, I don't have any hatred towards this film. It's just after the third Chucky or Child's Play movie, which I think is Bride of Chucky, is the fourth film, if I remember correctly.
I think so.
It goes downhill significantly, and then you have like The Seed of Chucky, which is probably one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life. I know some people like those movies, but I just have a very hard time getting into them. It is what it is. This is not the worst film I've ever seen, I guess. Bride of Chucky isn't, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, and again, if you go in the archives, we've ranked the Child's Play movies in the franchise. Yeah, but I don't think this one did. I mean, no, it's obviously got its moments, because it introduces, Tiffany and the things. And those are, that's okay and whatnot. But yeah, overall, the movie itself's not that great, especially comparatively speaking to some of the others. But there's lots and lots of people that absolutely love this movie, and I don't know if it's. I don't know if it's they love the movie or they just love the introduction of Tiffany and that whole side of it that much, so, but
Yeah,
whatever.
that's right. All right, so that's up it for our news, birthdays and anniversaries. So we have some upcoming releases. Before I start on these, fun fact for our so weirdly enough, October 11th is obviously Terrifier 3. We've talked about it a lot. Terrifier 3 is here. It releases on the 11th theaters, and I'll talk about it a little bit more in a second. But there's actually this really weird like niche crossover group of people who love Terrifier and people who also love Dragon Ball Z. Because on October 11th, not only do we get Terrifier 3, we actually get the long-awaited Dragon Ball Sparking Zero video game releasing on the 11th. It's like been almost over a decade in the making, so it's very much anticipated. But there's this weird like subsection of people who are like excited for both. I saw some on Twitter that they're like, you know, horror movie fans and anime fans are eating good this weekend is the meme that I saw. So, you know, good looking out for people out there who may be looking forward to that video game. But back to our regularly scheduled programming. Terrifier 3 is finally here, October 11th, releasing in theaters. And it is, of course, described as Art the Clown is set to unleash chaos on the unsuspecting residents of Miles County as they peacefully drift off to sleep on Christmas Eve. And, of course, we will be reviewing this next episode.
Yeah, I mean, again, not much describing it there. I'm cool with that. I don't care. I'm all about, you know what, if it's got Art the Clown, I'm going to be there. I don't care. You whatever. The description does not matter to me. This is absolutely the most anticipated movie of the year for me, bar none, just not even close. I apologize to everybody else. I cannot wait to see this movie. I cannot believe it's time. It just, because it feels like we've been waiting forever. And I cannot believe here we are, right on the cusp, just days, just a few days to seeing this movie. I can't wait. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Very excited. And then we have two other little things coming out here. We have A24's Heretic coming to theaters near you on November the 8th, starring Hugh Grant. It was recently given an R rating. So that is terrific.
That's right. And this movie looks pretty good. I like Hugh Grant. It looks like a good concept. We typically like the A24 stuff, so I'm looking forward to this. And that so far so good. I'm very excited. Coming off that Terrifier 3 high, to have this not long after. Hey, good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And then last but not least, a series called Tales from the Void comes to Screambox with two episodes every Sunday starting October 13th to October 27th. The series is based on haunting viral stories from the Reddit's No Sleep community. So No Sleep is a subreddit basically that just has a lot of really great stories that are either real. Some of them are like, you know, fact, like actual like firsthand stories, and some of them are fiction. So very interested to see what comes from No Sleep community stories. And I will definitely be checking out Tales from the Void.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool. I know there's some hype about this coming out. Pretty intrigued. I like, you know, two episodes a week, or short, for like a short, you know, just a few weeks, you know, keeping it within October so you don't have to wait too long, you know, not spread out too far. I'm guessing most of these are probably standalone independence stories anyway, right? From episode to episode. So yeah, this is pretty cool. I'm very intrigued by some of this episodic stuff, because while there's getting to be a little more of it out there, I still feel like it's an underdeveloped portion of horror that, you know, the episodic series type stuff. I feel like they could do much more with it. Of course, there's Crystal Lake, which I guess will come someday. Who knows where that lies? That we're all, you know. But I just feel like, you know, horror needs to dive into this a little more. Chucky showed us that it can be done and done well. You know, the Chucky series, R.I.P. you know, but it's things like this I'm excited about, because I feel like it's something they can utilize a lot more in horror. And really dive into, and I'm talking like beyond this, the big franchises, I really think need to dip their toe into this a little more. You know, like Halloween, it's right. We're at this weird standstill. What's Halloween, the franchise, going to do? And I think it's time for Halloween to dip their toe into the series format and see what they can do, and come up with some clever ideas. Nightmare has not been around for a while. We've not seen anything. You know, let's try this. Let's try something different. And so anyway. Looping back around, yeah, I'm looking forward to Tales from the Void. I don't have any concept of what the Reddit's No Sleep. I'm not on Reddit. I don't really deal with Reddit, but you know what? If it's, you know, these, you know, spooky horror type stories, that's pretty cool to me. And I'm you know, sounds like it's gonna be fun.
Yeah, absolutely. But all right, that is it. That is all. That is all we have for you. You get nothing.
No soup for you.
That's right. But yeah, so that's it, guys. Go ahead and like us on social media, follow us, because as always, we like to release all this information and all this good shit at the time it comes out, or whenever it is time for release, or all that good stuff. You know, any news or updates, we share it with you. You know, sharing is caring, knowledge is power. So go ahead and do that. And when we come back, we'll have our official review of Stream.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/WrasslePod. That is linktr.ee/RASSLEPOD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing.
All right, and welcome back to Listen to Their Screams. It's review time. And as Ike said, we are reviewing Stream, which was released on August 21st, 2024. Written by Stephen Della Sala, Jason Levy, Michael Levy, and Robert Pretoria. And it's directed by Michael Levy. And here we go. I'm going to catch my breath, take a deep breath, and here we go, because I couldn't leave out any of these names. Starring Jeffrey Combs, Charles Edwin Powell, Danielle Harris, Dee Wallace, Tim Curry, Tony Todd, David Howard Thornton, Bill Moseley, Jason Levy, Liana Periglia, Mark Haynes, Tim Reed, Daniel Roebuck, Felisa Rose, and more. Holy cow, this was a stacked cast. Before we dive into this, also be sure to listen to our interview with writer-actor Jason Levy in the archives. We talk about Stream and everything else prior to the release. It's a good interview. Go check that out. Now, this is a movie that we were intended to review when it came out. There was obviously issues with us in our areas with the releases we didn't get to. Now that it's available, I know it's weird because it's like not actually to the streaming date that they've announced, but yet it's available on Amazon Prime. So I don't know what the deal is with that. Whatever the case may be, it is, you know, we watched it on Amazon Prime. We purchased it on Amazon Prime. We have watched it. And this was a movie that I was really looking forward to seeing and really looking forward to talking about. Obviously, huge fans of the Fuzz of the Lens guys, the Levies, that, you know, Damian Leone did some effects, did the effects on this. Obviously, a huge fan of so many of these actors in this film. And I have to say, you know what? I fucking love this movie. This movie was so damn fun. This is a movie that I expect from Fuzz of the Lens. This is so cool to me when they venture out of the Terrifier realm to see that, hey, you know what? They can still do this fun stuff that still feels like it, like this, right? This is the horror. This has got some great kills in it, first of all. I'm not going into details, but man, there's some great kills in it. I will tip my hat on one thing. Man, I will never look at tic-tac-toe again in my life. and you would think with all these people, he's like, how's it going to work? Man, they all did great, and they all got pretty decent roles in the movie. And, you know, it's not like they just popped in and out for the most part. I mean, they substantially contributed to the movie. But I got to say, as far as this cast goes, there's so many people. You can say what you want, but goddamn, Jeffrey Combs stole the movie. That man is an absolutely national icon. I love Jeffrey Combs from Reanimator, but holy crap, he was so good in this movie. He was so much fun, so entertaining. He was the glue in the backbone that held it all together. Just wow. Jeffrey Combs, my man. Whole new level of love for you. But again, everybody was good. Daniel Roebuck was hilarious because every time he was on screen, he was drunk or acting drunk. And he was just so funny. And it's just, you could tell everybody just enjoyed what they were doing. David Howard Thornton, man, he accomplishes so much without speaking a word than anybody I think I've ever seen. Because there was the four players in this film, right? And each one of them were very, it's so cool because none of them really spoke, but they all had very unique characteristics. And it was so cool. But David Howard Thornton, just with his mannerisms and the way his movement is, just like he does with Art the Clown, was so good. It just, oh man, I'm telling you what. Everybody was great in the movie. It was so much fun. It was a great ideal. Obviously set up towards the end, which just like we talked with Jason Levy, they can keep this franchise rolling if they choose. I man, again, I'm not again, it's not necessarily like this groundbreaking movie, but that's okay. But it was so much fun to watch. I watched it twice already, and I just enjoyed it so much. So many different aspects of it. Like I said, the kills were great and everything else. Did I even mention it? Oh, I did mention Danielle Harris. Yeah, I mean, she was great in it. So many people that I'm a fan of in this movie. Just man, I don't know. I cannot sing the praise of this movie. If you're a horror fan, this is like a love letter. This is like the kind of movie that is why you love horror, right? There's fun kills. There's a fun little entertaining story. This has so many icons of horror in it that it's so cool to watch. This is just the ideal fun horror movie to watch. Absolutely loved it. Ike, what did you think of Stream?
Well, obviously everything you said is 100% true. This film was, I mean, that you could feel the passion in this movie. And actually, before I get into that, talking about the early release, completely accidental. So I was looking through some stuff, and I guess that the sometimes Prime has a fantastic thing where they just don't know how to listen to people, and they accidentally listed the movie for sale prior to the actual release date. So 100% on Prime. Doesn't surprise me. Probably Jeff Bezos' fault specifically. I'm sure he's in charge of that. I'm kidding. But honestly, mistake, but hell, it worked in our favor because we got the movie early.
Sure.
And and the Levies were like, obviously, if you've bought the movie, go ahead and watch it. We're not going to tell you you can't watch it, is basically what they said. So, good on them. They were very gracious and very graceful about that situation because they definitely could have been a little different, and they were great. So obviously, many kudos to Fuzz and Loons Production always. Beyond that, everything you said and more, truly. This movie was so fantastic. You could feel the love and the passion in this movie. And it's so funny because, we talked a lot about, all the people that are in this movie. This movie is star-studded, to the umpteenth degree. There's so many cool people who are in this movie. So many just beautiful icons of horror, and it's just too numerous to number. But I do want to hone in on a couple things. Like you said, Danielle Harris's, role, fantastic as the mom. She, had a very gruesome scene of some sort in the film, which, I'm not going to ruin it. What happens, or if anything happens, but it's a pretty gruesome scene that involves her, and it was very well done. And like you said, never look at tic-tac-toe the same again. So many cool and creative kills. But in my opinion, the show is truly stolen by the killers. Players 1 through 4 all had very unique mannerisms. I believe it was player 2 that was David Howard Thornton. Is that right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, one was Jason Levy,
Yeah.
two was David Howard Thornton, three was I think Mark Haynes, I think, and I think right, it was four the female.
I believe so. That sounds
Which
right. 3 or 4 was the female.
yeah, was Liana, however you say her name, Periglia. I'm sorry, I butcher that name. But Michael Levy was also in the movie as the one guy
The
worked at the
repairman.
hotel. Yeah, the repairman in the hotel. So
Yep.
very glad actually, what's his name? Stephen Delasala was in the movie as well, who's like the third trifecta of the Fuzz on the Lens. I think he played a paramedic, so he was actually in the
Oh.
movie as well. Yeah.
Well, look at that. They all had a little dip in there. That's
That's
cool.
right. Everybody pitching in.
That's right. Hey, that's how you know it's a good company.
That's
Everyone
right.
carries their weight. Nobody gets to do nothing here. We got to all do it together. Love that. But yeah, so I mean that's fantastic, and like you said, you could so feel the passion behind this. But like I said, the people who really stole this from me were the killers, and none of them said a freaking word. David Howard Thornton, just his mannerisms. I mean, he is a clown. He is Art the Clown. Like I mean that in the nicest way, but that man he just has fun. He's lanky, and like his body movements are funny. Like anytime I saw him on screen, it was funny. I was laughing because I was like, bro, this guy's literally just being a goofball, being a silly goose while he's killing people. I just love it. And like, just kudos to him. But yeah, I mean, just overall, this film, just in my opinion, did so many fantastic things, so many wonderful things. And obviously, I want to tell everyone everything that happens in this movie. Like, I want to talk about every single kill, but obviously, we can't. I mean, we could, but it would completely ruin it for somebody, and I don't want to do that because that's how good this movie is. This movie genuinely deserves to be watched with fresh eyes, and you deserve to see it in its full glory. So, I will stop myself from saying further because, like I said, I don't want to ruin it. But man, it is truly wonderful, and I'm so excited for when it comes out and everybody gets to see it, because I know it's still a couple days away, a few days away for the actual release, not the accidental, oopsie whoopsie, Amazon made a fucky wucky. But yeah, so yeah, that's what we do. But yeah, I'm gonna stop myself there, because again, because I can feel myself, I want to say something, but I can't.
And I, what do you tell me about Jeffrey Combs? What do you think about Jeffrey Combs? Am I overhyping how good he
No,
was in this movie?
Jeffrey Combs was extremely good in this movie. I it's one of those things where obviously, Jeffrey Combs was in Reanimator, right? And that was in my, so for me, that was really like the only thing that like I had really seen him in. You know what I mean? I'm sure I've seen him in something else. Surely there's some other movie that I've seen him partially in, but like seeing him in Reanimator and then seeing him in this, it's just so weird. It's such a weird dynamic, but he was so good in this. He plays a character called Mr. Lockwood, and Mr. Lockwood sort of acts as a game master of sorts, which is in the trailer, so I feel comfortable saying that. And yeah, I mean, Jeffrey Combs did a fantastic job. I mean, he was very sadistic and sinister, and he plays evil very well. Because I guess in Reanimator, he wasn't technically evil. I don't think. I think he was a good guy, wasn't he? He was like the boyfriend, right?
Well, no. He was Herbert West. He was the kind of
Okay,
the
so
guy.
no, he was kind of evil then.
Yeah,
Okay.
it's understated evil, so to speak, but which is what he does, right? And it's kind of the same in this. It was this under this he didn't look like the evil type, right? Didn't, but yet it was there. But it wasn't this like in your face kind of evil guy. It was, I don't know, but it was,
He's very subversive in his mannerisms. Like
yeah.
he, because and obviously, I this isn't much of a spoiler, but in the beginning, he just kind of he has the face or the front of being kind of like the hotel concierge, and like you said, he doesn't seem evil, and then he does some pretty terrible things later in the movie.
Yeah, and like I said, when we talked to Jason Levy, they have lots of they've got ideas and plans beyond this movie.
Yeah.
And if you look at their social media, right, it's not just stream movie or stream, it's stream franchise, right? They have goals and plans beyond this. And you can if you watch this movie, you can
You'll
see.
see.
Yeah, where it's planted and it I can see there's so much they can do, right? There's so much they can do with this. And I again, I love this movie. I'm so excited to see where they take it from here. It just, oh my gosh, it is it's so great. And again, there's so many people in it, and it's like one of those deals where as you're watching it, and each time someone pops up, you're just like, you
Hey, holy
just,
shit.
yeah, you just cheer. You're like, oh, look who it is. And they're great in it. I mean, Felisa Rose is only in it for a few minutes,
Yeah,
but
like for
she's,
5 seconds.
yeah, but she's so great when she's like
She's
carrying
funny.
on. Yeah. And it's just, Daniel, like I said, Daniel Roebuck's on for a little bit, but every time he's on, it's hilarious. And, I'm not going to give away, but all these guys, they again, they're all, no matter the time, they make an impact and they're important. And it's great to see them. Of course, Dee Wallace. I always loved Dee Wallace. She's great. It's just everything about this movie. It's just so.
So
And you know
good.
what? Yeah. And I got to say, hats off, Michael Levy. Hey, great job, man. I know he directed this thing and whatever else. I don't know if you know, his first forte is in acting or what it is, but hey, for his part, he did a great job too. You know, Jeffrey Combs was spectacular. The four games, you know, players, the four killers were spectacular. Everybody. I mean, the kid that was in it was great. It's such a fun movie. When you watch it, it's like it almost reintroduces you to why you love horror. Because yeah. It's like, you don't have to overthink. It's just fun. It's like this kind of movie. It feels like it could have been right out of the 80s or it could have been right out of the 90s. It's like that's just that it's that timeless theme of a horror movie almost. You know, it's just at its core, it's just fun horror, and that's you can tell that's what they set out to do. And it's and again, I think you can tell that with all the Fuzz on the Lens stuff. I think you can tell that with the Terrifier movies as well. How much they enjoy what they do. So let's rate this again. I don't want to say it broke the bank or anything else, but I'm telling you, I love this movie so much. I gotta say, I don't feel that there's any other way that I could give this movie less than a 4. I just have to. I tried to be fair. I tried to think of what it did, but just so packed with people, such a fun movie. The kills were so great. I don't know. It was just so much fun that, you know what? Screw it. I don't care. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5 because I loved this freaking movie. And it was one of my favorites so far of the year. So, Ike, if you're rating this thing, what are you giving it?
You know, I have to agree with you. I have to agree with you that it has to be a 4 because I could not live with myself if I rated it less, because in my opinion, this is up there with some of like Terrifier 1, for instance. I would give Terrifier 1 a 4. And I would say that this is very equal in terms of enjoyment to Terrifier 1. You know, Terrifier 2 obviously was even better, and I think that Terrifier 3 is going to be even better than that. But Scream, it has that same feeling, that same love for me, and it's just something that I just loved it so much. And it would not feel right giving it any less than a 4, in my opinion.
Yeah, me too. It's you know, I try to be, you know, I try to weigh in, you know, the impact, whatever else. And it's like, I think there's enough here originality wise. I think there's enough here because of the cast and how well they utilize and paid, you know, paid tribute to some of these people and gave them some of these spots. You know what? I just think, if you're a horror fan, I just think this is, it's so fun. It's so pristine. I get the rage, right? I see people online that went and saw it in theaters and talk about how much they loved it and how good and all the hype. There's all these people online with the hype about getting the masks and getting this. And I get it. I get it. It's such, it's wild to me that Fuzz on the Lens has really created now. Terrifier is an iconic franchise, and I think they're on the way with another. I really, really do. Because they can do, I mean, imagine what they can do. They're at this clever way too, that anything they do from here, any future movies, they can pull all these other people from horror too, right? To be in it. But just imagine, they're going to have different players in these movies, and they can do so many different things with the players and establishing who they are and the different masks. It's like they have a concept for the killers, but yet each movie can have different killers. It's so wild what they've done here. Because they, you know, you have the four killers in this one who at their core are essentially the same thing, right? There are four players playing this game. But yet each one is distinguishably different. And that can continue on pretty much indefinitely from here on out. That it's so at the core, the killers are the same, but yet each one can be unique. And it's great. It's a great concept. What they've done here, what they've established. I'm telling you, I don't know. Maybe I'm slightly biased too, because I love these guys and I love everything they do, but everything they do just absolutely is perfect for me. It's absolutely spot on stuff I love. Bravo. I love Scream. It was so much fun. Like I said, I've watched it twice. I it's a movie that I can rewatch all the time. I will love it. You know, it's just, it's so much fun. It doesn't lose that luster for me, but no, so cool.
This will be a yearly rewatch for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's like I totally want all the masks. I want the mask with all the different color eyes and stuff. It's like they've developed. I don't know, man. I don't know if they set out to do it, but it's like they totally develop these marketable things. It's they're clever. They know what they're doing.
They
They're
do.
great. So much fun. So all right. So go check it out. And like you said, I think I can't remember. I think the 15th is when everything's officially released on all the other platforms, video on demand. I don't know whether you can still purchase it on Amazon Prime now. I don't know,
No,
but the fifth.
they did take it down. They
Okay, there you go.
if but if you bought it already, you can still watch it.
Yeah, I've been working. I watched it today, so I watched it again today. So, but again, 15th, I think, is the official date where you can see it on watch it on video on demand on all these platforms. So it's only only a few days after the release of this. If you've not seen it, or even if you have, check it out. Make sure you purchase it. Watch it again. It is a fun watch. And we're staying in that fuzz on the lens lane because next episode, like we said, it is time for Terrifier 3. Now, you know what? We're going to try to go into this with a level head and unbiased view in our review. But we are precursing this by saying, you know what? I don't know. I don't know how much we can do that because we are such super fans of Terrifier and everything that this franchise is that you know what? If you're not a Terrifier fan, I'm not 100% sure that you can take our review at face value that it's a fair review because you know what? I can overlook a lot of stuff because I love this franchise so much. So anyway, we're gonna try to be unbiased, but hell, whatever. We love the franchise, and that is next week, Terrifier 3. I can't believe it's time. I feel like we've been waiting for this forever, and I'm just so super excited to see this movie, and it feels so surreal that here we are on the cusp of it. So I'm super excited, but that is coming next episode. Thank you to the wives, all the listeners, followers, everybody out there for all your support, your interactions, your downloads, your listens, your subscriptions, whatever else, in whatever way that you support us and help us and interact with us. We do appreciate that you take any of your time for our little podcast here. So before we close out and get out of here, Ike, anything you want to throw in?
Well, the big thing, and I know people hate when I guess end it on this, but the big thing for me is, folks who are in Florida who are getting ready to get hit by Milton, like, look,
Yeah.
our we're our thoughts are with you, man. Just if you haven't yet, or if you can, I'm obviously by this point it's too late to evacuate now, but hopefully you've already evacuated. But if you haven't, I really hope that everything is okay and that you are safe and sound and that you will be here for our next episode, because if you have no other reason to live, Terrifier 3 is that reason to live.
Yeah,
I kid,
I
but for
know.
real though, stay safe. It's going to be a rough one.
Yeah, it is. It's like, you know what? I'm looking forward to this movie, and everything else. But yeah, there's bigger things out there in the world, and I get that, and I feel for any of those people in that line. It's going to affect a lot of people, and be safe, people. I know it's hard to lose things, but possessions are just possessions, and they can be replaced. Your life cannot. So
Correct.
be safe. Be smart, evacuate if you have to, take the essentials, take the things that are irreplaceable if you can, but everything else, it may hurt, it may be hard, but it can be replaced. But you cannot, and we love you all, whether you listen to us or not. So just be safe and be aware. And that goes for anybody out there in any circumstances, because there's lots of shit that life pitches at you. So that's one reason that that we love the movie so much, because we get to go and for an hour and a half to 2 hours, we get to escape all that and just have fun and watch people get cut to pieces.
That's
And
right.
so it's a good time. So, but everybody, well wishes on whatever life's pitching to you, and just be safe and be smart. And if you're going through struggles, just, you know what? We're thanking for of you. So. All right. So next episode again, Terrifier 3. Super psyched, super stoked. Cannot wait to talk about that movie and see it. I don't even know. We may just cut out segments next week and just run an extra long review because I feel like we're just going to babble forever about this movie. So,
for sure.
Absolutely. So next week, that is that. Until then, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.